Hey, Moose Room listeners, Emily here. We at the Moose Room are busy getting ready for our May mental health series, and we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about mental health, mental illness, stress management, or anything in between? We would love to get your questions so we can answer them on our upcoming Ask the Expert episode for May Mental Health Awareness Month. Send your questions to themooseroom@umn.edu, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 612-624-3610. Please note any questions or submissions that you send in will be kept anonymous. We appreciate your help and look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to the Moose Room, everybody. The OG3 is here, and there are no guests, and it feels strange.
But OG3.
Yeah, it definitely feels good. Before we started recording, Brad made a good point. We need to almost like reintroduce ourselves because it's been guest after guest after guest. So we're gonna do a little update. So we'll start with Brad. What's going on in your life, man?
So much stuff. It's just been crazy, as usual. It's, you know, we're in May. Cows are going to grass, so we've been calving pretty heavily, working on calving projects, calf housing projects.
Spending all that grant money.
All that grant money, yes. Thank you, USDA, for providing that. And so it's been going well. It's actually been going well. I'm doing well, happy to be working with calves and cows, and got some good students working for me now. So, hey, the grass is green, and I even have some Jersey calves at my house again. For those of you that knew I was milking a cow during the pandemic, we are not going to milk a cow during this summer, but we got some Jersey heifers. I'm glad to be out smelling the fresh air of the pasture and the grass.
Yeah,
so it is good. I got to spend a day with Bradley yesterday working on some stuff and just being around cows. It was wonderful. It's good to hear that Brad's back in the cattle game at home as well. He also has sheep at home. So
yes, there's sheep too.
He's turning into a true farm, and it's just accumulating animals.
I feel like the sheep thing is going to turn into one of those, like, this was a 4-H project that got out of hand, right? Yeah. Like when we talked to Bradley in like 4 years about it.
I've got a couple people I know that are like that. And shout out to Tim Goldsmith and all his sheep that he... didn't initially want.
There is a date set for market on these weather, so we will have a lamb feed when we are done.
Perfect.
The Moose Room lamb roast.
That's there, right. You go.
It works.
All right, Em, what's going on in your life?
Oh my gosh. Well, it has been, you know, just kind of a crazy year with, I just wrapped up my first year in my new position as the farm safety and health educator. And we're just now getting to go out and do more programming. So today, the day that we're recording this, I was out teaching kids about livestock safety and safe animal handling with a one-eyed Holstein steer. It was a barrel of laughs, but really it was fun to be back out and be teaching. And you know, this is a really critical time of year for farm safety stuff too. And so I love that I can be out having conversations with people again. That's been really fun, you know, and of course, still just podcasting away. Also, the really cool thing about today, the day that we are recording, it is my 8-year anniversary with Extension.
Wow. Congrats.
Yeah.
8 years.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Congrats. Do more work.
Nice. Yeah. Congratulations. Get back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, so that's kind of cool. You know, I'll get a little weird and reflective here, but just thinking about 8 years ago when I started, if somebody would have told me, like, hey, here's all the things you're going to do, and you're going to record this really cool podcast with some really awesome colleagues of yours that you really respect and adore.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to get to do this incredible series for May Mental Health Awareness Month. Like, I would have thought you were crazy, right? So it's just cool to think about in 8 years, how much Extension has changed and how much it hasn't at the same time, right? In a good way. Like, we're still getting to do this really cool, impactful work, but in a new way and on new topic areas.
Life is busy. The good news is, and I think everyone out there, hopefully they're excited, is that, you know, things are loosening up on the restriction side for travel. You know, I'm vaccinated. Emily's vaccinated. Bradley had COVID, unfortunately, at one point, but he's protected and in a study that allows him to check and make sure he still is safe. And we're going to be able to travel. So you'll see us actually out and about and actually yes. getting to meet you. I'm excited. I'm super excited to be out and actually talking to people on farm in person. It's going to be
curious because I think of all the famous podcasts, how they'll do like live recordings where people will literally just come and watch them record. So if you're interested in that, send us an email, because if there's enough demand, I can probably convince these two knuckleheads to do it with me.
Oh yeah. We'll get out there for
sure.
Hey,
we could do a live podcast on somebody's farm. That'd be kind of cool.
That'd be wonderful.
Yes.
I'd do it.
The moves room from the parlor or something.
Yeah. From the parlor. I like that.
I love this.
Parlor chats with the moves room.
Good idea.
The moves room at umn.edu. Send us an email.
Send us the email. All right. Well, today, let's get into the topic today. As everyone is fully aware, rain has been short this year, and that means that grass is short as well. That goes for grazing dairies. That goes for hay production. That goes for all the beef farmers out there that are just waiting to kick cattle on the grass. And there's
turf grass growers.
Yeah, everyone.
I'll stop now.
So today we're going to really get into it with Bradley on one of the things that he's doing up at Morris to kind of help them figure out that situation. And that's planting summer annuals. So Brad, well, first of all, let's just talk about what the strategy is for you guys up at Morris when you're using summer annuals.
I like to think about summer annuals as an insurance policy, because you just can't know what the weather is going to be like in July or August. And here we sit and recording day, May 20th, and there's not much rain. It kind of drizzles every now and then out here in western Minnesota, but we haven't had rain. Our cool season pastures are growing. Alfalfa is growing. But, and you know, we might not chop alfalfa for silage for another 3 weeks yet. So it's going to get into June, and no rain means no regrowth. And so I think about it from pasture standpoint, if there's very little rain and pastures are going to be slow to regrowth, well, what can we do to combat that? And summer annuals are a great thing to plant. You know, we're planting them about now, the last week of May. You can plant them well into second week of June to provide some sort of feed for summertime if we really don't get any rain, because that's really what these grass species do, is grow on little rain, and that's why we call them warm season grasses, because they grow well in the summertime.
And is that something that you do, Bradley, every year, or just when you see, okay, we have a year coming where we might be a little low on, you know, forage available on the pasture?
We've tried to do it almost every year, you know. So back a while ago, I got some grant money to study warm season grasses in combination with cool season. So that was, you know, eight years ago. And ever since we started to do that, I've seen the benefits of warm season grasses. Yeah, we've tried a few different species, but we've been doing it almost every year, and we like to have at least, you know, 10 acres or so. Some years we've have a lot more of warm season grasses, depending on what we want to do with it. I'm a firm believer in having those options, because you just don't know. And if a farmer, whether you're beef or dairy, if you have to go buy hay in the middle of summer, when, especially if prices are going to go up, oh man, that's going to be hard on the pocketbook.
Who says pocketbook anymore?
Oh, sorry. Am I too old? Am I old fashioned?
Yes. Well, we already knew that. Another question that I have, and maybe you were getting there, Joe, and I'm jumping the gun here, cart before the horse, but what are your go-to annuals that you do plant when you're doing the warm weather?
In the past, we've worked with predominantly sorghum sedam grass, and we've worked with teff grass. I like sorghum sedan grass. That's kind of our go-to right now. It's what we really use a lot in our pastures. It grows fast. It outcompetes weeds. You know, for our organic pastures, we need something that will outcompete the weeds. So, and it provides a lot of forage and high quality forage. And we use a BMR, so highly digestible forage. I said teff grass earlier. I like teff. Teff gets weather finicky. If the summer is really hot and dry and you get a little bit of rain, teff grass grows wonderful if the sun comes out. If it's cloudy and the sun doesn't come out, teff grass doesn't do well. If it's cool, teff grass does not do well. So that one was a little bit harder. You know, sorghum sedan grass will grow if it's cool and rainy too. Not as well as if it's hot and dry, but that's kind of been our go-to. You know, I've worked with other producers that have used millets instead of using sorghum sedan grass. So I think there's a lot of different options out there.
So the question to me is where are you planting it? At some point, like you don't really want to put it in your established pastures. So where are you planting this annual grass to help yourself out?
We have a sacrifice area, you know, kind of a outwintering lot, some areas where we outwinter heifers or dry cows on some pastures. It works great for reestablishing pastures. So, you know, we go out into those areas and plant sorghum sedan grass. You want to go into a worked up ground. You don't want to, it doesn't do well if you try to no-till it into other existing pasture. I've tried that and it just doesn't work. So you want to go into freshly plowed ground that's been worked up and plant that. And you can do that in pastures, and we've planted it in fields. You know, there's lots of things you can do. We've had, you know, drowned out areas in our crop fields where we have corn silage or alfalfa or something, and we can plant some sorghum sedan grass in the middle of that on a few acres, and it grows there as well. So there's a lot of different options that you can plant it in. There's not one set thing where you have to plant it, and there's lots of different uses that you can do. You know, you can graze it, or you can chop it and harvest it, really.
That was my next question is, you know, plant it. It's a backup policy, basically. Sometimes you don't need it. Right. I mean, your pasture's doing well and you don't need it to graze, so you can harvest it. Do you do both? Like, walk me through what are all the different options you can do with it?
Well, there's lots of things. You can graze it and you can keep grazing it. You know, on our, if we're going to graze sorghum sedan grass through the whole summer, we maybe get three good grazings. You know, once in a while we'll get four, but three good grazings throughout the year. You know, typically around the 4th of July, if we plant in mid-May. And we'll get one in August and maybe early September. You can also harvest it. You know, if your cool season pastures are doing well, you know, you might be able to harvest, you know, for silage, maybe that first cutting, and then you can let it grow and you can maybe graze it later on in the year. So you can do both. It will regrow. Or you can just let it grow for silage and harvest a good sorghum sedan silage, which we've done as well. The stuff grows 11 to 12 feet tall. If you plant it now and harvest it at time when you harvest corn silage, maybe end of August, early September, it's tall stuff and provides a lot of forage. It's really good quality. It ensiles well. One thing I like to check for is nitrate. So I do a nitrate test when we ensile the sorghum sedan, just to make sure that there's, you know, not a lot of nitrates. Otherwise, we have lots of issues with nitrate poisoning in cattle. So we haven't had any issues, though. We've done both, grazed it and chopped it.
I didn't realize it could grow that tall. That, and it would still be good to harvest at that tall.
And still good to harvest. Yeah, we've mixed some with corn silage. You know, like I said, some drowned out areas, you maybe have 5 or 6 acres of drowned out areas. Well, we just chop through it and it just gets mixed in with the corn silage. So it is good stuff.
That's cool. That's a good way to use it. Well, I don't know if we need to know a whole lot else. What else is there to know, Brad?
One last thing about, some people might get concerned about sorghum sedan grass. We hear about prussic acid poisoning or poisoning in cattle. And the biggest thing for that in the fall is, and during the whole year, is we graze it. It has to be at least 3 feet tall. So then you shouldn't have any issues. So if you're grazing more than 3 feet tall, and if you have a frost in the fall, you should wait at least 2 weeks to graze it, and then you won't have any issue. And we've done it every year. If it freezes, you know, it'll kill off or set back the sorghum sedan grass, but you can go in there and graze it a couple weeks after a killing frost and all the prussic acid is gone out of there. So haven't had any issues. You know, that's why people use Japanese millet or pearl millet, things like that, because they don't have to worry about that prussic acid poisoning. But I think if you manage it well, there's no big issue, and it provides good feed and lots of it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. And yeah, the prussic acid, if you follow those two rules, I've never seen anyone have a problem. Well, there you go. That's a strategy for helping you and having insurance policy. And when we are short on grass, when we are short on rain, summer annuals, especially in those sacrifice areas that you probably all have anyway, great technique, great way to go. We'll cut it there. If you have questions, comments, scathing rebuttals about this episode or anything else, or if you want to see a live show as we get back out in the world, please email the moosroom at umn.edu.
That's themoosroom at umn.edu.
You can catch us on Facebook at UMN Beef and at UMN Dairy. We have two YouTube channels, University of Minnesota Extension Dairy and Beef Channel and University of Minnesota Farm Safety and Health. Two YouTube channels to check us out on. Twitter. We also have Twitter at UMN Farm Safety and at UMN Moosroom. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week.
Oh my gosh, bye.
Bye.
Ooh, short and sweet. Of course, for the last month, we've been recording like 5 day long episodes.
I know, exactly.
Every time someone's listening, they're like, are they ever going to stop talking?
Hey, Moose Room listeners, Emily here. We at the Moose Room are busy getting ready for our May mental health series, and we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about mental health, mental illness, stress management, or anything in between? We would love to get your questions so we can answer them on our upcoming Ask the Expert episode for May Mental Health Awareness Month. Send your questions to themoosroom@umn.edu, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 612-624-3610. Please note any questions or submissions that you send in will be kept anonymous. We appreciate your help and look forward to hearing from you.